I have given the book of Revelation a sort of a vacation for the summer. And we are in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, for a few weeks. The author of Hebrews wants his readers to endure, to persevere in the faith, that they might receive the promise of the divine blessing. So at this point, after bringing up faith, he feels obligated to explain faith. And so in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, there is an exposition of what is faith. He gives a definition of faith, and then he lists example after example of faith in the life of Old Testament saints. Last Sunday we considered the faith of Abel, and so Enoch is the next example listed. Enoch is an antediluvian man. I don't know if you have ever seen that term before, antediluvian, but it means before the flood. Anti means before, diluvian means flood. Put them together and you get before the flood. Sometimes Bible commentaries use that term, antediluvian. Enoch lived before the flood. The historical record of Enoch is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And I want to read that, and then I want to put it together with this commentary on Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Genesis 5, 21 through 24 says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Then Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Now there's not very much here from which to get a message, but it seems to me that the significant thing about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 is that he walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. The significant things about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 are his faith, he was taken up, and he pleased God. Now, since this is a chapter on faith, and the whole chapter is here to explain faith to us mostly by example, there must be something here for us to learn from Enoch's faith. What is it? The object of Enoch's faith is God. Enoch's faith was expressed or demonstrated by his walk, and Enoch's destiny was affected by his faith. So what can we learn from the faith of Enoch? First of all, God is the greatest object of faith. Do you see in the text that God is the object of Enoch's faith? "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. Enoch pleased God. So he had faith in God. God was the object of his faith. Now why would Enoch make God the object of his faith? Enoch made God the object of his faith because God is the greatest being in the universe. There is no way to even try to begin to sum that up in a few minutes. It is what the whole Bible is about. The magnificence and the majesty of God is the theme of the entire Bible, and a whole life of contemplation of that is like a drop of water in the ocean. The Bible says that of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. He is the eternal God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the earth and the world were formed, was the everlasting God. At some point, He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He spoke light into existence. And then He separated light from darkness. He spoke the vast expanse of heaven into existence. He spoke and the seas were formed and the dry land appeared on earth. He spoke into existence vegetation and plants and trees. He spoke the stars and sun and moon and planets into existence. He created living creatures to swarm in the waters and seas and birds to fly in the heavens. He made all the animals to inhabit the dry ground. Then He made man in His own image. Male and female, He created them. God is your creator. God is the sustainer of all things. Right at the beginning of this book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Did you hear that? He upholds the universe by the word of His power. God is the creator of all things and the upholder of all things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." In another place, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." God feeds the birds. God clothes the grass of the field. God governs the falling of a sparrow to the ground. And God numbers the hairs on your head. And that is just a small example of how God sustains the universe. The Westminster Confession of Faith says, "God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose and govern all creatures, actions and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence, according to His infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, goodness and mercy." God is the creator of all things. God is the sustainer of all things, and God is the consummator of all things. God has already written the last chapter of human history. When it unfolds as a play on a stage, God will be the one who closes the curtains. Our final destiny is in His hands. It is in our best interest to please Him. At some point in his life, Enoch decided to please God. Because the text says, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. I wonder what it was that set Enoch on a pursuit to please God. In the passage in Genesis 5, it says that Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. Then after he fathered Methuselah, he walked with God for 300 years. There seems to be something significant about the birth of Methuselah that brought a change in Enoch's life. It's not too far-fetched to think this way. The Hebrew word Methuselah means something like, "When he dies, it will come." Why would Enoch's son be given a name like that? There is a suggestion in that name that Enoch knew about the coming judgment of God. Enoch knew something about the coming flood on the earth. That name may have been given because God had said to Enoch that when Methuselah dies, the flood is coming. Because the wickedness that brought on the flood is already in operation here during Enoch's time. We learn that from another passage in the Bible. So perhaps Enoch was sobered by the thought of the flood, or at least by the birth of his firstborn, and that wrought in Enoch a faith in God that resulted in him being commended as having pleased God. At any rate, Enoch realized that God is the greatest object of faith and set his focus in life on glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. The second thing we learn about faith from Enoch is faith in God is demonstrated by action. Faith is demonstrated by a life. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him." Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Before he was taken refers to the life that he lived. And when you look back at the life he lived in Genesis 5:22, you see that Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. Enoch was commended as having pleased God because he walked with God. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, first of all, in order to walk with God, you have to be reconciled to God. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" You cannot walk with someone unless you are in agreement with them. The problem is we come into this world in disagreement with God because of our sin. So in order to walk with God, we have to come to agreement with Him, and that means we have to be reconciled to Him. The good question is, how do you get reconciled to God? Well, we know a lot more than Enoch did today because of where we live on the timeline of history. The only way to be reconciled to God is through the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. There is no other way. But Enoch lived before the coming of Christ. So what did he do to get reconciled to God? The answer is that Enoch came to God by the method that he appointed at that time, and we assume that it was by blood sacrifice because that is what God implemented later on with Israel, with the tabernacle and the priesthood. Abel lived before Enoch, and he made a blood sacrifice to God that was approved by God. That blood sacrifice, and every blood sacrifice made for the atonement of sins before the coming of Christ, looked forward to and prefigured the one great atoning sacrifice that Christ made by His substitutionary death on the cross. So Enoch first had to come to God by faith in an atoning sacrifice that prefigured Christ's sacrifice. And so you could say that he did have faith in Christ. And we have to first come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we begin to walk with Him. Once you have been reconciled to God, once you have become reconciled to God, in order that you may walk with Him, you have to stay in communion with Him. That's what walking with God is all about, isn't it? It is about being in communion with God, and to be in communion with God, you have to stay near to Him. If you do a word study on the word walk in the Scriptures, you will find all kinds of ways to walk. You can walk contrary to God. You can walk after other gods. You can walk not in His ways. You can walk in vanity. You can walk in darkness. Or you can walk in God's ways. You can walk in obedience to God. You can walk in truth. You can walk uprightly. You can walk in the light as He is in the light. You can walk in wisdom. When the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, it means that there was a closeness, a nearness, an intimate communion with God. Oftentimes we don't want to walk with God. We want to walk in a different direction from God. We have different aspirations from God. Sin can cause you to not want to walk with God. After Peter denied Jesus on the night of His betrayal, the Bible says in Matthew 26 that Peter walked afar off. Now that is very interesting, isn't it? Peter walked afar off. Peter denied Christ, so he wasn't walking with Him at that point. But he wanted to see what was going to happen, so he followed from afar. When our hearts are not right with God, we can't walk with God. We walk afar off from God. So we need to confess our sins and repent of them and draw near to God by faith, by reading His Word and obeying it, praying to Him, attending the worship services, observing the sacraments. We have to use all of the means that God has appointed for having communion with Him in order to walk near to Him. Thirdly, faith in God, demonstrated by action, comes to a glorious end. When you walk with God throughout life, you end up in the place of eternal blessing. Again, Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him." Where did God take Enoch? God took Enoch to heaven because that is where God takes people that please Him. Enoch went to heaven without having to experience death. He is an illustration of those who will be alive at the time of our Lord's return. That generation of believers will not have to die. They will be transformed and transported to heaven without experiencing death. We might be in that generation of believers, but we don't know. At any rate, there is victory over death. There's a place beyond the grave that is eternal communion with God. Enoch is there because God took him. He walked with God for 300 years and then God took him. We may not get there the same way that Enoch got there. Probably not. But we can get there through faith in Christ and walking with God in this life. If God can take Enoch to heaven without having to experience death, then He can take you to heaven through death. That is the normal way of getting there. When you walk with God, you end up in heaven with God. So how is your walk with God? Are you walking with Him in intimate fellowship with Him? Our text says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him, and you will be rewarded. Your life will be different. May God help us to do just that. Our sacrifice has been made. Jesus has made the sacrifice. Jesus has made a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sinners. We only give thanks for what He has done for sinners. We are sinners. We must confess that we have sinned against God and come to Jesus Christ and receive the free gift. May God enable you to do that. Amen. Let's pray.